Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hey there. Before we jump into this episode, I want to let you know about something that is brand new that you have access to as a Mamahood After Trauma listener. Now, tell me, does this sound like you? You want to give your littles a positive childhood experience. You want the steps to finally heal your childhood trauma. You're tired of the fear holding you back in life. And you enjoy being a mama and you want to be more present. If you answered yes to any of the above, I would invite you to check out the Mama Untriggered private podcast series. This is a 5-part private podcast series that teaches you how to ditch the emotional roller coaster and bust out of the fear controlling your mamahood. Let's teach you how to calm your nervous system through small, simple steps. I mean, parenting books and workshops are great, but we believe it's better to give you short, actionable audio clips that allow you to take action right away, so that they can't escape from your mom brain, right? If this sounds at all interesting to you, I would invite you to head over to subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. That's subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. Now, let's go into this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm so excited that you have taken some time out of your busy mom task-filled day to tune in and listen to this conversation. Today, we are joined by Ryan. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Emily.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you and to have this conversation. So one thing that I know is challenging for trauma survivors and trauma surviving mamas is building connections with others. And I think most of that results from our lack of connection with ourselves. But so today we're going to talk about fostering connection with your kiddos. So how did you get into this?
Well, I got into this very rocky. It was a rocky start, that's for sure. And it was when I realized that I didn't have any connection to myself. You were spot on with that piece. And when I realized that, my whole earth went crashing down. It was during an acute postpartum depression episode that I had after the birth of my first child. And just my world got turned upside down overnight. And I just thought, like, who am I? What am I doing? Why am I so scared to do anything? I'm terrified to do anything. And just this really great fear overcame me. And so after slowly healing from that acute episode and working with therapists and going to yoga and journaling and somatic healing and doing all the things like through the process, I realized that I didn't know how to connect with my kids, my infant even, and then mm-hmm. my bigger kids later on, because I didn't have that modeled for me. I didn't have mm-hmm. a super solid connection with a caregiver necessarily. You know, at times I did, but it wasn't dependable. And so that's how I got into it, just by necessity. I thought I want to do things different, and I didn't know how. And so I taught myself very slowly. And frankly, I'm still teaching myself. I still need to take a step back sometimes and go, what's the priority here? Is it connection? Is it control? And I'm constantly, you know, checking myself on that.
Yeah. And building that awareness muscle is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So walk us through, what were some of the first steps that you took when you had that realization that you wanted to connect with your kids more?
Yeah. What's interesting is the thing that helped me then and still helps me now is community. And
yes.
Locally, I found a support group. It was a spiritual group at, we have a Kabbalah center here nearby, and they were doing a Mommy and Me group, and a friend of a friend said, hey, like, come check it out. And that was so helpful because everybody was talking about how dang hard it is to be a mother. And I thought, thank God, it's not just me. So hearing that experience of others, like, really took the weight off my shoulders, because I thought, it can't be this hard for everybody. And it is, because really we all have trauma, you know, big T trauma, yep. little T trauma. Some of us know it, some of us don't. I'm imagining mm-hmm. the people here with us today know, they have an idea, right? So yeah, that community piece. And then I found an alternative education spot too, like a play-based preschool. And mm-hmm. that really started the process of unlearning what a traditional education paradigm looks like. And mm-hmm. I think for many of us, we were taught, starting as young as like preschool age, so 2, 3, 4, that we are to listen to our authoritarian figures, our parents, teachers, mm-hmm. coaches, administrators, and not question them. And never felt right for me. And so I learned this model of mutual respect. And this isn't mm-hmm. letting your kids do whatever they want. It's not letting your kids, you know, take disrespectful behaviors towards you or other people in the family, but it is certainly having Socratic discussions, so to speak, and, you know, valuing their opinions and their feelings and what they need and what they want.
Yeah, I love that. I've taken a similar path with my kids of mutual respect and listening to their words, not just them, listening to me or their dad, and building that respect rather than a fear-based relationship where
yep.
I have to listen to mom because she said this, and if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yep.
So how can someone get started? So you mentioned the community piece and building, learning the alternative education model and the mutual respect. What are some steps that someone can take to get them started?
Yeah, so it's such a nuanced thing because I noticed that we all have such different experiences, right? Mm-hmm. So my experience isn't the exact same as yours and the exact same as anyone else's. But I've found for myself, really what's coming to me right now is learning to be in your own body, like
yes.
feeling your feet on the ground, feeling your bottom in the chair, like feeling your hands, like feeling yourself here now. Because what we do many times in traumatic situations is we learn to dissociate. And thank mm-hmm. God for that, because it was a coping mechanism. It was a survival strategy and it got us through. Amen. Like, here we are, right? And so now we learn to come back to our bodies, come back to the discomfort. I can't mm-hmm. tell you how many times I've been in the closet, in the bathroom, on my ground, shaking, crying, you know, raging to get that emotion out. And so many times we learn these coping mechanisms that are maladaptive. So drinking, Netflixing, social mediaing, tuning out, dissociating. And the whole idea is like, come back into your body. So just try it right now. Like, be in your body, feel your feet, feel your hands. Like, what are you feeling? And then that leads to, guess what? We have to feel the stuff that hurts. And that really sucks. But I promise you, you can survive this. I promise. And of course, you know, along the way, you have teachers and guides and therapists and people to guide you. I think everybody has to have one good teacher. And even if that is like your yoga teacher that you go to the class weekly, great. If it's the little old lady down the street that bakes like chocolate chip cookies and she reminds you of your grandma, great. But like, have somebody who you look up to, who's kind of like a mama figure to you. Like, the mamas need a mama. And if we didn't have that mama, some of us, whether because absence emotionally or physical absence or whatever, you know, we can find that teacher, that guide, that mentor. So be on the lookout for that person, because I think that person exists for everybody. And as the old adage goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and you'll know when it's her or him, you know, so keep your eye out for that.
Yeah, I love those tips. Learning how to be present in your body is also really important in, I've kind of made up this word, getting untriggered. Learning how to be present in your body. And I can assure you, friends, that on the other side of those unpleasant feelings that you've been repressing is relief.
Yep.
On the other side is relief. You just have to face the initial grief or anger or whatever it is and get through that. And then there's relief.
Right. Right. I think the step that some of us forget, and that I still forget sometimes, is the letting go piece. I'm so married to my story of being this abandoned girl and this abused and we hang on to the story of this like victim, and perhaps we were victimized, yes. And then moving it beyond that, at some point that old story no longer serves, and there has to be an untethering, a letting go, a loosening, an expansion around it. Like, you have to like leave it in the past. So
yeah, that's where you came from. That's not where you are now.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, for me, it's been reclaiming my power, because
that's right,
that old story, where my story of origin stripped all of that away. And I'm sure that's the experience of many trauma survivors, if not every single one, is that origin story or that traumatic event that happened stripped your personal power away. You were victimized. And so now it's about reclaiming that and doing that while also being a mama to your little ones is so empowering for you as an individual, but it's also amazing for your kids to witness.
Mm-hmm.
So how has your journey of developing your connection with your kids changed your relationships?
Yeah, I want to touch on that for sure. Relationships are a big part of everybody's life, right? We're human, and relationships are just a core need that we have. And without relationships, we die. Without tribe, mm-hmm. we die. And I do want to circle back around to the feeling of powerlessness or the feeling of being empowered, you know, on the contrast. And I think it was Marianne Williamson who said, our greatest fear is not that we're worthless. I don't know. It might not be the exact word, but our greatest fear is not that we're worthless, but our greatest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure.
Oh, and so she hit it right on the head.
Right on the head. Because the truth is that each one of us has within us what we need to heal. We're already whole. Even when we feel broken, we are whole. We are good. We are beautiful. We are here, right? And so just to think about that for a minute and to have our kids see us just, you know, working through our stuff and being super honest and, gosh, mom is like having a really hard day. God, I'm so sad today. Or, oh, I'm just so angry. And, you know, mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with you and all, you know, all these different things, which really does kind of segue into the way that all the relationships have changed, you know, based mm-hmm. on the connection with my kids. I think it's like I started for my kids and I'm like staying the course for everybody else, you know, mm-hmm. like the kids are like the easy ones to do. Not the easy ones. My relationships with my children aren't necessarily easy. I've got three different children, three sets of needs, three different temperaments. They're all vastly different for mm-hmm. those moms of multiples, like, you know, and I just want it more for my kids and I. Like, I want it for them. I want it for me. It's like such a part of this intergenerational healing. And then mm-hmm. the harder relationships are those ones, you know, maybe somebody resonates with this, but those ones that were from your family of origin who maybe mm-hmm. don't understand this journey that you're on still. And mm-hmm. those relationships for me are the trickiest. My marriage with my husband can be really hard because, you know, that's another relationship that's here to mm-hmm. put all the stuff in your face that you never got to heal as a kid. And so you're going to mm-hmm. get different triggers and different things that come up in those relationships that are so key to look at. And it's so much easier to brush them under the rug. Like, trust me, I like wish I had my broom to just like sweep it under. And sometimes I do, because sometimes it's only like one thing at a time here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think relationships are maybe the most important thing in a person's life. So it's crucial that we look at them and that we take ownership of our part in it too. Like, oh, my husband's sock is on the ground. Instead of me going, oh my gosh, what a jerk he is. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. Okay, there's a sock on the ground. I'm like tracking this to him being a jerk. Maybe we have some unfinished business. Maybe there was a comment that he said that bothered me and I never even was conscious of it. And I need to circle back around to that in my consciousness. And maybe it's just a sock on the floor and I want to control everybody around me so much because I feel safe when I can have perceived control mm-hmm. over everybody else in my house. So it's this whole relationship thing, ironically, is about just like looking in the mirror and saying, why is this bothering me? Where is this coming from? Why do I have this tremendous need to control, mm-hmm. coerce, manipulate, etc.?
Yeah. Yeah. I can resonate with what you're saying about how relationships with people from your family of origin, as you've gone on this healing journey, can be extremely challenging. Like in the last 5 years, I personally have completely changed from the person I was when I was growing up. And my family doesn't know how to deal with that. And like, night yep. and day, like they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And yep. so there's a level of compassion that I have to have because they're struggling to grasp a pencil. Like,
yep.
Just give me a straw, Emily. Like,
That's right. Yeah. The crab in the bucket metaphor is perfect for that. Like when one crab climbs out and there's like a bucket full of, 20 crabs, let's call it. And one crab like finds his way to the top. The other ones pull him down. And that's similar to the reaction that we have as humans when we see somebody growing or changing. We want to think we know who people are. We want to think we have people pegged, even those of us, maybe especially those of us who are on this healing journey, right? To think that we have other people pegged, even though they're not doing the healing work, that's an easy stone to throw, and still like it comes back to us. But yeah, it's a fine dance, as I like to call it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is. How can our listeners connect with you further if they would like to do so?
Yeah, the best way to find me is through my podcast, the Raising Wild Hearts podcast. I'm on Apple Music Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Amazon Music and really wherever you listen to podcasts. That's the best way to keep track of me. And I talk about psychology, spirituality, motherhood, and the intersection where they all come together with a lot of education peppered in there because it's one of my core values. And so somehow the conversation always leads back to that for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you would like more of the Mamahood After Trauma community, make sure to look in the description of this episode for the link to become a Mamahood After Trauma Inner Circle member. Until next time, Mama, keep